and action. Use plus player one.
Oh, is it? I gotta say that?
Yes.
Public service announcement. If you're using opinions or other opinions.
Fuck that bullshit. They are my opinions. And my guests. No one else's. Remember, this show ain't for chitlins' ears. So listening discretion and viewing discretion is advised. This is a paranormal horror crime show. So the scenes and the sounds can be a little terrifying to those little ears and those little eyeballs. And of course, there's obviously cussing. I mean, it's me. This is for entertainment purposes and for you guys to listen with your ears. Consume the knowledge. And now, time for the show.
Exploring the paranormal perspective.
Perspective, and if we're laughing, we may tell you the story later. Who knows? but Martha Decker, thank you so much for coming on to the show. Do you go by the full name Martha Hazard Decker whenever you're introduced?
Most of the time I do, because that's the name I use with photographs and books and articles. But Martha Decker's fine. Martha's fine.
Wonderful. Thank you. Because I'm like, I might have just screwed that up. So, I'm going to go ahead. I should have warned you before we got on here, but there's a lot of people that come on and they like to throw out like sound bites and stuff like that. So some will probably throw out a sound bite if they have a question, and we'll be able to look at the, I'll be able to look at the chat and ask the question for you. Oh my God, finally. Well, sorry, Floopy. I told you three. we're here with Martha Hazard Decker. She is a author. She's also a Bigfoot. Do you call yourself a squatcher? Or just a Bigfoot?
That's a good name. I'll put that a word. It's just
I know a lot of them.
It might be UFO. It might be Bigfoot.
Right?
It might be a ghost. Who the heck knows? It might be.
Have you ever had anybody tell you that they had fairies on their property?
Yes, I have.
Oh, interesting.
I had a lady. There's a house around this area that they were going to restore, a historical house. With a long story behind it, but it was not your normal garden club. They were all older women, but they were all professionals. They were publishers. They were, you know, all varying things like that. And after they'd have their meeting, they'd go to the Mexican restaurant and have margaritas.
That sounds like my kind of club.
The 70s, 80s, and there's one lady, little bitty lady, who was around 90. And out on her property, one she built by hand herself, a wood cabin that was a replica of the one that she grew up in. But she said, when I was talking to her, she had spent about 5 years living in a castle in Ireland. And so she had the fairy thing there, but because her property is woods, she came to the meeting and she was so excited to tell me she found a fairy circle out in the woods.
Why would she want to come here if she was living in a castle?
Well, maybe that was a bad marriage. I don't know.
that would do it. That would do it. Yep.
You know, I mean, that was probably, you know, that was, you know, many years ago. And I mean, she grew up in a wood, you know, cabin in the woods kind of thing with, as a child and had quite the life.
Oh, man.
So, I don't think she would she could have told anybody, because that club, there was activity in that house. So I handled all the paranormal stuff for that house. If somebody wanted to investigate or anything, I handled all of that for the club.
Oh, nice. Now, the fairy circles, because I'm not too familiar with fairies. So whenever there's a what does a circle kind of look like? Can you describe? Just a circle? Does it like have a circle like twigs or?
It could be a circle. Well, for example, I have an area out in the, we've got 5 acres and at least 3 of it is woods. And we actually have trails through there that we maintain, because we've been here for over 35 years. And there's one area that when I walked, when we first bought the property, it was more open. And we let everything just go back natural. And something about this area, and when I look in this area, it's one of the areas I like to go to, I'm drawn to. There's like monkey grass. It's in a giant circle all around it. And so, you know, all I know is that's what I've been told, because I don't know a lot either. But I've been with other friends, and they've said, here's a fairy circle. And it's something like that, just a little something to kind of designate a circle around something.
Oh, wow. That is cool.
You know, back to, I've got to go take fruit and instead of putting it in the trash or something. And because we have all kinds of wildlife out here. But I take it away from the house and it's over near that area. I go, well, here's some watermelon for you.
We have some leftovers. Come on in. Come get it.
You know, I don't know, because I don't know about that area, but that's what I know. And all I know is that the lady, she's the only person that's ever told me about having a fairy circle at her house, which is, you know, she's not that far from here, but then started telling a story about living in the castle in Ireland and having ghosts and and other elementals and everything.
Oh, you're going into elementals. Now, I've never seen or experienced an elemental. Have you?
I don't know if I have or not. I may have. But I don't know enough to know for sure. But there's things when I, you know, because I like to be out in the woods. I like to be outside. And, you know, there's no telling and what's actually out there. I kind of keep an open mind, because who knows? There's just odd things that I can't even really describe that we'll hear, we'll see, you know, during the night out here in the woods, if we're outside. We like to come outside and skywatch. We had to go out in the middle of the street, you know, and bring our chairs out there. So we'd wait till like 2 o'clock or something.
When there's less traffic. No.
The traffic changed when our road went from dirt to paved. It used to be a dirt road.
You got more traffic now?
A lot.
That sucks.
It was funny, when we first moved in around the corner, there was an older couple that would keep some of their animals. They had a circus, and they would keep them on this one big huge piece of property around the corner, so you could sit out at night and you could hear elephants. You know, here you are in East Texas, you know, out there. You're hearing elephants at night. That was so cool.
Oh, man, I bet. Well, like, go ahead.
Yeah, they moved the camels and the elephants when that road got paved. It got turned into a state highway.
Oh. So
they found somewhere else for them, because they're afraid, you know.
Somebody
might, you know telling what somebody might do. So.
Right. Oh, gosh.
They moved them.
Well, Adrian's always, I know you know who Adrian is. Adrian is always talking about how he doesn't want to be food. Do you ever worry about being food, knowing that there's Bigfoot and creatures and cryptids and all kinds of things out there?
No, but, you know, I had to come to terms with that as a police officer.
Yep.
Because it's the people that I was more, you know, more suspicious of them. And I've been around Bigfoot activity, and I have never felt threatened by it.
Really?
Yeah.
You've seen one with your eyeballs.
So there's three places I've been but somebody I know owns land in Southeast Oklahoma, and their property is like 20 miles due west of Mena, Arkansas. And there's this just in the hotbed of activity all around in there. And so on the Oklahoma property, that's 80 acres and it's surrounded by creeks and then national forest.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen some crazy things there. And then I've been to their house. They live down in Buffalo, Texas, and have a bunch of land. And so Mark would go out of town. He was like an international pilot.
Mm-hmm.
So he's gone for several weeks at a time. And so when their kids were smaller, every once in a while, Sally and Mark on that property, in the Oklahoma property, she called me because there was one Bigfoot that used to bother her. Because I had a big above ground swimming pool and you could see it from the living room. So she could see the kids if they were in it. But whenever Mark is gone, it's like the Bigfoot presence is made known to them. And this one used to come and he would just put his arm on the edge of the swimming pool and stare in the house.
Oh, man, that's interesting.
So, I told her, hey, I'll come anytime if you get worried, but just holler at me because she's only about 90 minutes away. But it was, to me, what I was getting is that he was there saying, I'm here to protect you.
Oh.
You know, the man is gone and we're here. We're going to keep you safe almost.
Oh, that's sweet.
And then on the property they own, I've been there, camped out there several times. There was a metal building out there that we stay in. And the first time I went in, I was over there. There were three of us, three women. I swear within 10 minutes or so, we started having rocks being thrown against the building. and we picked up it evidently it's quite it's like it's a main path through.
Mm-hmm.
There was a guy named Robert Dodd that ended up being caretaker of that property until he passed. And you can still find his videos on YouTube. It's just Robert Dowd, like D-O-W-D.
Mm-hmm.
And every day he would post stuff and he would go out and he would put fruit out and do different things. And he ran into like a family once at night at dusk. He was going back down one because they have about 3.5 miles of trails through that property, and like ran right into, almost hit them a family.
Whoa!
And so one night when we were there, Kim and I were outside, and Ruth had put a recording outside, a recorder, and we didn't know that was out there, so it's a good thing we weren't talking about it. But we were watching. And off in the distance, you heard a Bigfoot call. This there was like a hill, and you'd hear a Bigfoot call on this side and a response on this side. And they were going back and forth. Then all of a sudden, in between them, this bright, colorful light, almost like an explosion, just whether it was a portal or something, I don't know. It just appeared. And then they weren't communicating anymore.
Oh, wow. Interesting.
Then, you hear knocks over there, different things. But in Mena at Board Camp Crystal Mine, Cheryl and Orville Murphy own it. And it was been a crystal mine with them for, I don't know, probably 20 years or more. And they used to have concerts out there. So there's a big auditorium or a big stage out there.
Mm-hmm.
And up on the other side of the hill from where people would sit is their main area that they're digging for crystals. And one night, and their son happened to be down there, he noticed, so they were all able to see it. They had three beams of light just appear right in that area where they were digging. And MUFON got involved with that one. And then when we went, because it was me and Kim and Ruth and Donna and Helen, it was like a girl's weekend. So that's when I first met her. But we looked behind the stage and there was a tree, a tall tree on a hill.
Mm.
And midway up to that tree was this huge log that was set in between, you know, to like put there so it could be like a seat. And they had been talking about stones fall from the sky at night. And when we saw that, I knew, because they weren't paranormal. They weren't UFO. They weren't, right. You know, big, they weren't any of that. And later, because I've been out there several times, it's my question to him was, is it only at night when you see the rocks? And he says, yeah. And I said, and I told him, I said, that's not coming from the sky. You have Bigfoot here. So the last time I went, and Troy Hudson, who I met many years ago in, here in Texas and within law enforcement,
mm-hmm.
is over in Oklahoma, or he was over in Oklahoma at that time, and he was in law enforcement. He also was doing all the Bigfoot investigations for five of the tribes in Oklahoma, anything they would get. But so he was there with his friend, and I was there with a friend, and literally all night, it's like we were playing all night over there, but with the beams, which ended up being a UFO thing with MUFON. So they had that at the house, over at the house. And they had realized with that, that it was, they didn't like just continue up into the sky. It was like there was, you know, something hovering and the beams were going down from it. And one of the conclusions with MUFON was that it was an actual event, and that it may have been possible that they were extracting energy from the crystals in the, in, because they have one of the biggest crystal deposits in Arkansas.
Oh,
and so that's it. And then they have mystery lights there at night, but with the Bigfoot, you know, then they went over to the Bigfoot, and people can go over there, and I think do Bigfoot things there now. Troy actually found a nursery, and I haven't had a chance to go back, pandemic hit and all that. Where they were taking the juveniles to teach them how to, you know, bend the trees and do all the things that the see that they attribute to Bigfoot. But we were playing, we'd have little sticks tossed at us, you know, not at us, but towards us. Like, hey, I'm here, come and get me. And then we go this way. And so we actually saw, but we saw them. I mean, this was in the middle of the night, so it's dark. But we could see them just standing on the trail sometimes, just waiting for us, and then head off.
Do you think they were just doing it to play like a hide and seek kind of thing, or were they trying to lead y'all somewhere?
Yeah, just playing, just having a good time with people. They have a picnic table up in their event with the UFO event, because well, when they went up the next day from the UFO, every piece of metal that was in that area was magnetized. And they can still take things up into that area where they had been digging and leave metal objects there. Uh-huh. And by the next morning, they're magnetized. Your compass goes crazy over there. Your, like, your compass, EMF, all that is just like
wow. The Bermuda Triangle in Arkansas.
So on the table, they have kids' toys.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like little cars or little, you know, the plastic animals and different things that kids would play with. They have some of that on that table, and they'll leave, say, a little Debbie, or they leave some kind of snack out there. And the next morning, it's gone, and in place of it is a crystal.
So they're
giving things, but they give things back. They don't just take, it's
right.
Like stuff doesn't just get taken away.
Oh, wow. And, you know, you're not the first one to tell me that rocks get thrown, you know, towards them whenever they have a Bigfoot encounter. I have heard that from two or three different people. Is that just something they do to get people's attention?
Yeah, you know, rocks, the sticks, some of them may do it trying to make you go away. But we were it was a playful mood when we were there.
Aw.
It was totally just like the coolest thing I'd ever done.
Well, now I know a lot of people get mad whenever I ask this question, so I hope I don't anger you on this one. So what do you think about Bigfoot and UFOs being kind of almost one and the same?
I don't get mad about it, because we don't know enough, and because of what I've seen and heard myself, you know, was that a portal that opened up? I don't know. You know, because we couldn't see over there. We could just hear the communication from either side and wouldn't know what we saw. And it was something.
Right.
That and there wasn't anybody over there to do anything because that's national forest over there.
Right.
You know, it's all woods. There's just not anything. And so the first thing we did was we went to our friends. We went to and asked like Jody Cook, Lyle Blackburn, Ken Gerhardt, and, you know, Nick Redfern, you know, all these people that we know and we know from doing conferences with them and everything too. We hollered at all of them about the light, and half of them said that they've had other people tell them the same thing, but sort of as an afterthought. They'll go, oh, by the way, I saw this bright flash of light. And the others was like, no, I've never heard of that. So I don't.
Wow.
Who knows? I have a friend who was on Skinwalker Ranch several years ago, had to sign an NDA for the government. And this friend told me, because this friend was kind of going like, did I see what I see? Did they make this up for me? Why would they make this up for me? So that friend went with somebody from the ranch. I think this is like the current caretakers and everybody. It was after, you know, after Bigelow didn't have it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And my friend was told, we're going to go out here and see something. Don't move. Don't sneeze. Don't breathe. Don't do anything. And if something happens, I run to the Jeep, run with me. So this friend was out there and watched a portal open, watched a creature come out of the portal, was able to see inside this portal or gas stargate or whatever it was, and could see flying craft in there. And this creature stepped out, looked around, and it went back in, and the portal closed. And this friend was told that the government occasionally brings out trailers, like tractor trailer, of cattle that get taken through the portal.
What the hell?
Yeah.
It wouldn't surprise me anymore. It would not surprise me anymore.
And, you know, and that, like, the, you know, the question was, could they hologram that? Well, yeah, they could.
Yeah.
But it would be extremely difficult and costly. Yeah. And why? You know, why would you do that? That's totally, you know, no. And this friend has been quite the investigator through their life.
Uh-huh.
So if this friend tells me this happened, it happened.
Oh my God. Well, you know, that kind of makes sense though, because I noticed on researching, because I've never gone Bigfoot hunting or, you know, watching, squatching. But I have seen UFOs myself, and I have researched where whenever there's a Bigfoot sighting, there's usually a UFO sighting. And whenever I thought about it more, I was like, well, you know, they're saying, well, there's a Bigfoot over there, but then silence, there's no Bigfoot and nobody's seen anything or done anything. And could there be alternate portals or alternate dimensions along with?
Well, you know, look, more and more scientific people are going with the multiverse, you know, idea and getting into all of that. You know, I didn't think they ever would. That's all science fiction, right?
Right.
Yes. But it's almost mainstream now within, you know, a lot of the scientific community.
Yeah.
When you get into the physicists and everything like that. And who knows? That's why I just keep an open mind.
Yeah.
Because I don't know. I mean, it makes sense.
Yeah, it does. When you look at it from that aspect, I mean, because you look at some of these movies out of Hollywood and all that. Who came up with the idea of this, and who sent it to the writers to write it about, you know, write about it? And
I mean, you know, well, if you read science fiction, a lot of the science fiction, you know, comes to be, you know, like Dick Tracy and all that when I was a kid. You know, the communicator on the wrist and how what do we have, you know?
Yeah.
We have all that kind of stuff now.
We do.
You know,
we
it's not
do.
Quite the Jets, not quite the Jetsons yet. But
you know, if it ever comes to that part while I'm still alive, I don't want to live that high up. Sorry.
No, but I will take a flying car.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll take that too. If I can get to Alabama quicker than what I do now, and give it to me.
Right.
Well,
you know, it would be, or you have your Stargate, you're, you know, you go somewhere, right? Like I can go to the Stargate in Dallas, and in 2 seconds, I'm down in New Orleans having lunch, you know?
Oh, that would be awesome. I would love that. I would love that.
Yeah.
Did you get a chance to go to the Bigfoot thing here in Oklahoma?
No, I
think
I didn't,
it was last month.
But there's going to be one in Jefferson, Texas.
Ooh.
And Jefferson, they have one in Jefferson. I didn't make that one this year either, but they have one because I call Jefferson like the Bigfoot capital of Texas.
Ah, nice.
And Craig Woolheater puts that one on. And I don't know, you know, I don't know if he's had it yet or not. A lot of times he has it in October, and I'm usually speaking at a conference when he has that one.
Yeah.
So, you know, but I've been to it, and it's interesting.
Huh. Well, you know, go ahead.
I was gonna say, there's even a UFO conference that's gonna be in somewhere in Texas. I think it's gonna be in Jefferson too. UFO conference that Daniel Allen Jones is putting on, that will be a first over there. It'll be the first UFO conference.
Oh, sweet.
So I'm going to be there. I'm not speaking there, but I'll be there. He was talking about it because we were both at a conference in Mineola I think it was last month.
Interesting. Now, I know up in Missouri, or is it Kansas? Missouri or Kansas, there's a UFO convention that happens every year, isn't there?
Probably in a lot of the states. There's a main one. There's a MUFON symposium that's put on yearly. And last year it was in Denver, and I went to that.
Ooh.
And then they're having it, I think, in Pennsylvania or Pittsburgh or somewhere like that this year.
Wow.
They do have it. So you have people from all over, you know, that go to that. It was pretty interesting.
Oh, that sounds interesting. But
yeah.
you don't just look at UFOs and Bigfoot, though. You actually look into ghosts and other things too. Like you're part of two paranormal teams?
Right. I have mine that I actually established in 2007, I was doing things, but that was when I retired from the police department out here where I am.
Mm-hmm.
And before that, you know, I've been investigating for about 30 years, but, you know, I just kind of kept that fairly quiet because the last thing I needed were defense attorneys in East Texas.
Right.
You know, trying to discredit, you know,
anything,
my credibility on a felony case. But actually, I was fortunate. I don't think I went to court, but maybe once or twice on my felony cases. They were all settled out of court as with guilty pleas. So.
Well, if you're anything like my dad was, he was really thorough.
Hey, this is Shauna. I'll be right back after this commercial break.
In order for the light to shine so brightly, the darkness must be present. Tune in every Monday at 10 o'clock for Dark Sun Rising on the Para-X Radio Network.
What happens to a ghost when their home is torn down? No one thinks of the disembodied when they rip down old buildings, dig up cemeteries, and build clean, unhauntable condos. Every year, hundreds of spirits are driven out of their old haunts by the careless living to exist alone with no one to scare. At ParaX Radio, our hosts feel the plight of these evicted disembodied, and we're reaching out to you to please open your heart to one of these lost souls, such as the ghost soldier of the General Wayne Inn or the abandoned spirit cat of Benjamin Rush. So please, please, let a little spooky into your life. Won't you open your house to a ghost without a home?
ParaX.
Hey, this is Shauna. Welcome back.
Hello. Because I had been a journalist. I had been a journalist before that.
And, really?
I was a journalist. Yeah.
Journalist turned cop. That's interesting.
I'm getting that like word all the time. I need to quit. and basically, no words. But I had, back in 95, I was awarded a first place award for specialty reporting with Associated Press. So
awesome.
So that was pretty cool. And so I went from that into law enforcement. But we were, every April is in Texas, and I don't know about anywhere else, but it has to do with domestic abuse. Yeah. And so all of the, almost all the officers in the county where I work, we were all at a full day training, and the DA's office was there, the county attorney's office was there. So we're all there. And then there's other people that are there, you know, from crisis centers and different things. So what does the county attorney do? The county attorney goes, because they're talking about report writing. Uh-huh. And he goes, now Decker there. I see her name on a report. I don't have to worry. It's got everything. And I'm like sliding down because everybody's looking at me.
Well, what made you go from being a reporter to a police officer?
I don't know. It was just like a calling almost.
Yeah.
You know, I took everything that I had and put it into the law enforcement. And, you know, and I thoroughly enjoyed that. And I had some really interesting, you know, cases.
I bet.
Yeah, I had I specialized in the domestic terrorism.
Mm.
So I worked with all sorts of law enforcement through the years.
Yeah.
And got some special training in that. And of course, I was on the SWAT. I was a training officer. I'm still an instructor. To this day, and when I retired, I was keeping all my certifications up. Well, I didn't have to, but as a like that mm-hmm. was like a just in case. But yeah. I'm still an instructor. We had cases dealing with. We had like one guy who was Embassy of Heaven guy, Texas militia. Constitutional militia, the Republic. He was in five different groups.
Wow.
And somehow, back when I used to, and I had my training, and I had actually, at that time, helped train all of law enforcement that was in the county. And somehow, I was still working patrol shift. I managed to stop three different people of this guy's family at different times. They were all coming home from the grocery store.
Wow.
They
all
had all their groceries, you know, and I don't know what they drive, and I'm out in a rural area. It's dark. We don't have street lights. I don't know who's in a, you know, I don't know anything.
Right.
When I stop, you know, till I stop them. And the first one I did, I had a rookie with me, and I'm telling him what to say on the radio because she had this, it was back when they had the CBs and her plate said Embassy of Heaven, which is the group out of Oregon. And the main guy calls himself Paul Revere. So Oregon or Idaho, I don't remember, but they're still out there. And so she went to jail. And of course they showed up because they have all the, you know, this is a free country. We're free to come and go. And, you know, the whole thing that they always do, right? And yep. I'm like, we need to just get and go. And, you know, I had turned over the car to them here. After I took the Embassy of Heaven license plate off of it. Because what they would do is they would take their deeds to their property, their vehicle titles, and they would sign them over to Embassy of Heaven. And then he would send them what looks like a legitimate driver's license and what looks just like any other regular license plate for your vehicle. But he's getting all of his stuff. Yeah, all over the country.
Oh,
and
my.
You can go to their website and then look under Heaven in the News. And way, 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 way down, because it was a long time ago, you'll find some articles that had been in the newspapers about me arresting a couple of the, you know, a couple of them in the family at different times. And so when I got the daughter, she actually went on a hunger strike at the jail. And then they did. Texas has about 6 laws that were created because Republic of Texas was big with their paper terrorism. They would file false liens on property and do all these different things. And that's when everybody had fax machines still. And so they would do the clog up the fax machine, clog up the phone lines, people calling. They had the troopers out there, the state troopers. They had, everybody out there because the sheriff's life was threatened. And
oh my gosh.
And, wow. I had called my sheriff because I live in a different county. And because they ended up letting her go after 2 weeks. And they never did prosecute her, and they were, I had county jailable offenses on her. They just didn't want to deal with her, and I know it. But my sheriff had said, bring them down here. I don't care.
Well, hold them.
I had called to let him know because I knew him. A lot of them I knew from my journalism days.
Yeah.
Because I covered the police beat. And, in case there was like, if you get a 911 call from my house, it's going to be real.
Oh,
it's going to be real. And we're armed. My husband was a weapons guy in the army too, but
nice.
It's going to be real. So, a little heads up for him, but
man, see, that's what I was telling my dad whenever he got up here. I said, you know what? The stuff that you had to deal with as a cop just makes you look at humanity and go, where are the ghosts? Because I don't want to deal with them.
No, or I go by and see some kind of odd-shaped bag on the side of the road. I go, was there a body in there?
Oh, my God. I do, too. And I don't... I saw one in the middle of the road driving to work one day. And I'm like, what's in that bag?
Well, I had one day that it was the way it was shaped and packaged and wrapped in carpet. I had somebody, because I was the only one on duty, I had somebody from the neighboring, for backup come up, and somebody had taken part of a deer and wrapped the deer in carpet and everything that they didn't want and threw it on the side of the road.
Oh my gosh. Wow. That's a lot of trouble to wrap a deer.
No joke. Especially when there's woods everywhere. Haul it back into the woods and let the animals have it.
Exactly.
But, I was a poacher. And
goodness gravy.
Game warden didn't want to mess with it. So, because that was it. Tell the game warden it's here.
No. When did you have your first paranormal experience?
I was probably around 4, between 4 and 5.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. And I always thought it was some kind of a spirit type thing, but I have another friend whose name is Jane Nelms, NELMS. She's probably done over 1,000 investigations with, there's another group, big group besides MUFON, or there was, and she was a president of the Dallas chapter of that. And, you should see all the stuff she has, from fingerprints to photographs. She's close to 80 and she is amazing, but she has these medical afflictions. It almost looks like shingles, but it's not shingles or things like that. So she really doesn't you know, go from her home. She's been an abductee, you know, she's gone,
gone.
Well, she wouldn't even really call herself that, but talking, it's just part of, she almost feels like they had, were using her at times as a liaison a couple of years ago, well, before COVID, she did go down to Dallas and speak at the MUFON, one of the meetings one time. But she has all this stuff, and it's really painful for her to travel.
Mm-hmm.
And, I'm sorry. go ahead.
So it's painful for her to travel. So she did, just like you would talk, trying to talk to spirit. She's like, if you want me to go speak, you need to fix this, because there's no way I can drive from Winsboro to Dallas. That's probably an hour and a half, 2 hour drive. And do you know, everything went away. Like within the next day or two, it was all gone.
Wow.
And she went about 6 weeks with everything being gone, and then it started coming back.
Wow. That is interesting.
She's interesting. She's been on, it was either 60 Minutes or 2020. And so there's things like that, you know, old interviews with her, and mm-hmm. there's supposed to be a documentary being done. If not, I would really like to write about her life. Her dad, she came from England, and her dad was a futurist for the royal family.
Oh, wow.
And he was actually knighted by Queen Elizabeth.
Wow.
Yeah.
Holy cow.
And so she's this really tall blonde. And she, so when she was like in her early 20s, she was in Africa, doing like a Cirque du Soleil type.
Oh, wow.
And so while she has
had
that,
an interesting life.
When she was in Africa, she also had a Maasai warrior as her bodyguard.
Nice. Well, nice.
And she talks about, you know, because they're still doing it today, how the different tribes will invade and try to wipe out everybody in the tribe.
Yeah.
And, you know, and all that stuff. So mm-hmm. she took up arms with a village when it was invaded, too. And
wow. Not only is she amazing in other things, but she's also tough. Good deal.
Oh. So talking to her, when I was about 4 or 5, there was this shadow. There was a little bit more to it, but there was also a shadow. The way I've always described it was, if you pictured what we think of as druid, you know, tall with a long, you know, like monk robe. And that's what I have seen several. Last time I saw it, I was 19. But in the face, there was like no face. It was even darker in there.
Wow.
And talking to Jane, she believes that it was alien, not some kind of ghostly thing, because she's been on the ship with I know this sounds crazy, but she's been on the ship with the hybrid children, and she's been in the nursery, and she was up there in the nursery. There were some other women up there where they were, you know, holding the kids and doing all the stuff like you would normally do. And this figure came in, and she asked me, did it walk when you saw it, or did it kind of glide? Well, you know, I remember pretty good from when I was 4 or 5, but I really remember well from when I was 19. And it just above the floor, not like high up, but just, you know, a few inches or so, it actually did glide into the room I was in at the time. And she said that she has seen something exactly like that when she was on the ship in the nursery. It came into the nursery, looked around, and just like that, with like the no face and, I mean, everything, and then glided back out. And she said all she knows is that was some, you know, top person, like your top brass or something on the ship.
What? Oh, my
gosh. That's what I said.
Gosh.
What?
What? Oh, my goodness.
Because I've always just put it like, well, I've never known what it was.
Right.
But she she's like, no, I've seen this, but I was on the ship. It's like, okay.
Wow. That is, wow. I would have to just pick her brain.
And she's like, when I go visit her, and I need to go visit her. I haven't visited her since COVID. You know, it's an all day thing. You know, I get there about 11 or so. When I finally I leave, like at dinner time, you know, when David comes home, her husband had a or has a private investigation company. And I've been a PI with him, and then with Deborah Colleen Rose, with hers as well. She's a psychic medium, calls herself a Christian mystic, but she does like she does handwriting analysis.
Well,
I do
statement, cool.
And I do statement analysis. That was something that I got certified in when I was in law enforcement. And
Nice.
but now I forgot where I was going with that.
Talk about picking her brain.
Oh yeah, I mean, it's just because Jane says that they come like middle of the afternoon, the house is off the road because they're out in a rural area too, and she said they'll come about the middle of the day and just show up
and set video cameras up everywhere.
Well, they do have some, and they do have some pictures of some things. But
oh, nice.
She said they'll come, and it's a telepathic communication. And she said that one came one afternoon and told her that she had done well. You know, you've done well. Oh, I know the PI thing, but this, you have done well. And she had one of those hybrid babies. It's like, you know, the ones that do that, it's like they're pregnant, and then all of a sudden, then they're not.
Yeah.
And showed her about a 35-year-old male that was commanding a ship, and that was her son. So she didn't get to meet or talk with him, but it's like, you know, for you, you've done well, you know, here we're gonna, this is what we're gonna let you see.
Wow. I would have been like, what, wait.
Well, I want to know. So Dave had the PI, that was at the PI, and I was PI with him for a couple of years, and he had one other person that was with the company, and that happened to be Daryl Sims.
Daryl Sims. Why does that sound familiar?
Sorry, a
phone
call.
Oh, you're fine.
But Daryl Sims. I know I can't put it in airplane mode because
you're fine.
Daryl Sims,
I knew that name sounded familiar.
Yeah, he was Alien Hunter on TV.
Yeah.
So I got to know Daryl Sims, and that was like, that was a trip. We're a PI group, and we've got all these, you know, UFO people in this PI, you know.
Hey, it's paranormal. I mean, sort of. It's
right. So, you know, like you said, like two teams. I have mine, and we don't have meetings. We don't do that. And now it's really loose. I started in 07, but depending on what it is, you know, I'll call, you know, call somebody if it's because I'm associated with like the paranormal clergy and another group. So I've got with Bishop James Long and Father Bob Bailey type thing.
Yep.
So I do that and investigate some cases for them. And Deborah is getting more and more into the paranormal stuff, not just the, but she also has an entertainment company where they go in and they dress like gypsies or,
oh, wow.
You know, whatever, you know, like corporate events and so on. And they do they'll do the quick readings because they'll do the psychic readings, and then she does a handwriting analysis and everything. But so that's DFW Paranormal Investigations. Is we formed that group, and that's me and Deborah Colleen Rose and Luann Morris, and like we're going to be at one of the downtown Dallas hotels in October. Well, groups coming through where they do the take the ghost tour of Dallas, and then but we're going to be in there, and they have three spots I think that have activity in the hotel, and we're going to actually investigate. You know, we'll be there for a long time, but investigate with the different people, whoever's in the tour.
Nice.
And that. So we're doing that kind of stuff too.
That is awesome. Other,
it's like they're similar, but yet they're not.
Well, who do you have with the other group? What was the other group's name?
My group is East Texas Paranormal. And I have a variety of people, you know, if it's UFO stuff, it's, you know, Jane Nelms and Jane and Dave Nelms. Hey, or it could be Heidi Hoke. Heidi Hoke lives in Mineola, and her house is it's gorgeous. It's extremely active. It's the OP Pyle house. And there's been a couple of documentaries done about her house, but it's not just the supernatural over there. It's also the UFO stuff.
Nice.
So I'll call them, and then I have a really good friend, Maria Elena Santos Kemp, who's in Austin, and that's my psychic medium that I go to. She also, if I need any like hoodoo, Santa Maria. So I have good friends that are kind of specialized in different things. It just depends. Yeah, it depends on what it was. Yeah, I went down to San Antonio a couple months ago, and I took Deborah with me, with one that had contacted Bishop Long, and it sounded like it could possibly be a really bad thing.
Oh no!
Well, her husband actually, we saw where he could possibly become possessed.
Oh no.
But it was more than spirits. It was more they had a Russian gypsy curse on the family, a generational curse is what it really was. Mm. And the husband was in poor health and at the hospital while we were there. So we didn't, we went over to the house for 2 days, went down and spent the night in the hotel. But it was a house where the women for several generations are very psychic, very sensitive, and very strong. We gave them stuff for to help remove the Russian gypsy curse, and we explained to her that it was, you know, that because that's about the time when they were neighbors to a Russian gypsy. That's about the time some things started happening.
Oh no.
And
wow.
They evidently went through the fence. They had a 6-foot fence, and they were curious about the property behind them. And they all went over, the family went over there, and they went wandering around. And I personally believe that they went into this man's house and they were, you know, messing around with his stuff. And even though she wouldn't say that, I am an empath. There's just things I can pick up on.
Right.
And same thing with Deborah. Yeah, with Deborah being, she calls herself actually a Christian mystic. But so a couple days later, this man, this Russian gypsy, showed up at the house and told them to never, ever go on the property. And there was something else that was left on their property. And I don't remember what it was, but it was like, you have a Russian gypsy curse. They put that on the head of the household. Well, why was it on me? I'm the head of the house. No, their culture, the man is the head of the household. Yeah, but he's not the head of the household. I am.
Oh, my goodness.
And sometimes, you know, you spend hours and hours trying to work with somebody, trying to help them. We gave her the tools to get rid of get rid of all of that. And she was too dysfunctional. I ended up having to block her on my phone.
Oh no.
I've got a couple that I've had to do that with because we're kind of big with the aftercare.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we go do something.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going back. I have he's a friend now. I was initially called out to one of the East Texas counties. I can't think of the name of the county right now. And at the time, he was the captain of CID.
Oh.
And he had gotten with the sheriff. Somebody had recommended he call me about an unsolved murder. So I went out there and spent a half a day using both my law enforcement training, you know, and everything. I mean, it all is a really great package with all of it. And for years, a lot of this stuff that I just took as like gut instinct, pretty much things like that, were more than that. And I didn't really realize until I started running around with a bunch of people, you know, the last 5-10 years. Oh, wait a minute. And they say things like, "You're so psychic. You have no idea how psychic you are." Okay. And it's like, but you, it's like, really? I mean, I've had people say several things like that, because I don't go around saying I'm psychic.
Right.
I will say I've been an empath my whole life. And I use that a lot in law enforcement. I use that in investigations. I use that in interrogations also.
Oh, gosh. Wow.
I went out. That was the first time that I actually felt what, you know, the other psychic friends of mine, like, my heart hurts, this happened, or they feel the pain. And I've been I am a firefighter right now, volunteer firefighter, and I had been a firefighter. And so I had all this firefighting, you know, and arson training and everything in the background. I keep busy.
You're yeah. I was going to say, wow, how do you find time to do anything?
Well, I found some people, the busier they are, the more they can do.
Yeah.
And then, you know, if it gets to where you just can't fit it in, well, then I'll just, you know, start backing off. But
yeah.
But yeah, crawfish got me back into a fire department last year.
Oh.
And I had been in one, and I was getting a lot of arson training with the initial back in the 80s with that fire department. And so we went out to the crime scene. It was a barn. Well, it wasn't a barn. It was a shaped like a barn, but it was a bunkhouse type thing, where it was actually a doctor from Chicago had it as his hunting place.
Oh.
And he showed up, I guess, and that people didn't expect it. Someone had been living. But anyway, they ended up killing him, and I felt like it was accidentally. But when we went out there, it's a really fascinating story that I hope gets solved. There's fingers crossed. Yeah. It's in Raines County. That's where it was, in Raines County. And we go out there, and I get into what I just call the circle of fire, because I had set the fire trying to, you know, make it look like he died accidentally, but there's a whole lot to that. And since it's still active, I don't want to go into a whole lot, but
right.
It was the first time I went in, and if I had not had that fire training, I think I would have missed it, because when I get into where the fire had been from, you know, about here or so down, I could feel the heat, not from the fire going, but after the fire, when it's still smoking and embers, you know,
yeah,
after it's all burned down, when you go in, I could feel, I've become friends with that captain now, but I was like, can you feel it? I felt like a preacher, you know. Can you
feel it? Thank you so much for watching. This was part one of Martha Hazard Decker. Tune in next week for the conclusion.
Hey guys, it's Johnny Hauser here. I'm in the attic of the Ballista Axe Murder House. Stuff's getting weird. This doll's creeping me out. I just wanted to take a second to tell you my buddy, my BFF, my bestie, Shauna's got a new podcast out. It's called Exploring the Paranormal Perspective. She's going to be talking about monsters, mysteries, aliens, ghosts, true crime, paranormal, everything that's interesting. You know, you need to listen to it. Para X Radio Network, 8 p.m. Central Time, Wednesdays. Tune in.
Whether you're listening at home, at work, or anywhere, thanks for making Para X part of your day. Your source for everything paranormal. Para X.